going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FCN. I'm your host, Chris Meany. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to hang out. This is episode 17 of Mean Streets, the Keith Hernandez Shohei Ohtani episode. My guy, Shohei. Rough year for Shohei. Hopefully he bounces back next season. Darren Erstad also wore 1-7 for the Halos. I had to give some love to Keith Hernandez. I mean, I'm a big Seinfeld fan, as you may or may not know. A couple of references already on this show, but I'd love the episodes that he's in. The one where they're trying to figure out who spat on who. Where did it come from? The miraculous loogie. Where did it come from? Who did it? How about the episode where he asked Jerry to help him move? Like, listen, nobody wants to help anybody move, especially a guy that you hardly know, even if it is Keith Hernandez, right? Kramer's giving him a hard time. You can't help him move. You hardly know the guy. And at the very end of the episode, Kramer is the guy helping Keith Hernandez move. Just absolute jokes. I want to give Keith Hernandez a bit of a shout out there. Yari Curry, Ilya Kovalchuk, two Euros to wear 1-7 on the ice. John Barry, Rick Fox, two randoms to wear 1-7 in the NBA. A couple solid young and up-and-coming wide receivers in Terry McLaurin and DJ Chark wearing number 17 in the NFL. Alshon Jeffrey used to be up-and-coming, used to be good. Give him a hard time lately, but he was a big part of that Super Bowl run for the Eagles. Caught a few solid passes during that run for them. Plexico Burress did the same thing for the Giants. I'll never forget the touchdown pass he had against the undefeated New England Patriots at the time, right? Plexico Burress was a solid fantasy asset back in the day. Did a few good things on the field. Did a lot of random awfulness off the field as well. Things we don't need to get into, but he wore 1-7 in the NFL. Ryan Tannehill, Phillip Rivers currently wearing 17 in the NFL. Doug Williams, Jason Campbell, two former Washington quarterbacks. I bring up Jason Campbell because nobody ever remembers Jason Campbell. They just remember Josh Gordon and the run that he had when he was just catching passes left, right, and center and setting records and just winning fantasy championships for everybody. He's been reinstated. He looks like he potentially could return the final 2 weeks of the season for the Seattle Seahawks. Don't go and pick up Josh Gordon, right? Everybody remembers Josh Gordon and the run, and everyone wants to pick him up, but nobody ever remembers Jason Campbell. He did wear 1-7. Just a random player that I wanted to bring up. I always bring up one random. Jake Delhomme could have fit that bill as well. He also wore 1-7 in the NFL. None better than Davante Adams, who's an absolute stud. Not breaking news, but I like him again this week. This is the last time I'm going to bring this up. Jerry Jeudy signed mini helmet could be yours. All you have to do is subscribe to this show wherever it is that you listen, preferably on our YouTube page. If you can just show me that you've, you know, subscribed, a screenshot, send that over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. I appreciate everybody who has already done so. If you did it week one, week two, episode one, two, whatever, I still have all your names. If I haven't gotten back to you via email, don't worry. I have your name. I'll put your name into that draw. So I'm going to give it away next week. So this is the last time I'm going to promote this. I have the signed Jerry Jeudy mini helmet from Pristine Auction. I'm going to give that away. You're going to have a great shot to win this too. 1 in 50. But this is going to be the last time. I'm hovering right around that 50 mark right now. But I'm just going to promote it one more time. And then next week, give it away. I'd like to have it given to you by Christmas. Unfortunately, that's probably not going to happen. I'm north of the border. It takes forever, you know, via moose to give this helmet to you. I mean, it's going to take a long time to get to you. So, Jerry Jeudy signed mini helmet. Get in on it. Last time. Mean Streets. FTN@gmail.com. Show me that you subscribe wherever it is that you're listening. Unfortunately, there was a couple questions I couldn't get to via email. If you have a question, hit me up on the YouTube page. I'll get to them there. If you don't want to watch on YouTube, if you can just subscribe, that would be amazing. If you are watching on YouTube, subscribe, hit the like button, leave a question. That really just helps out the show a lot. So it's all I ask for. Just, you know, smash the like button, leave a question or a comment in the YouTube section, and then away we go. It'll help the show grow. We're really starting to grow our FTN YouTube page. There's going to be a lot of free content coming up on our YouTube page over the next few weeks. You're really going to start to see it. Some prize picks videos. Brad Evans is going to jump on there, do some videos as well. Just lots of stuff going on. Kyle Murray has his like ownership projection stuff where he recaps the week, all that good stuff. So check out the YouTube page. But if it's just iTunes, Spotify, wherever it is, if it's iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, appreciate the review and the 5 stars, if possible. As I said before, you can say, Meany stinks, just want the Jerry Jeudy helmet. It's acceptable. It's fine. I'll take it. Put your name into a draw. You got a 1 in 50 chance to win a Jerry Jeudy signed mini helmet. Also, Allen Robinson as well as part of the FTN Fabcast Going to be giving that away next week as well, I'm pretty sure. I can't call the shots. It's Matthew Wood who's calling the shots there. That's an audio podcast every Tuesday, waiver wire podcast. Only a couple episodes left, but so we will be giving away that. But Maddie's only taken iTunes and Spotify reviews. So he wants the 5 stars. He wants you to rate, review, and check it out over on iTunes. And if you don't have, you know, you don't listen on iTunes, I could talk him into a subscription on Spotify or wherever it is that you listen. But just send that over, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com or at Chris Meany on Twitter. DMs are open. But if you have any questions, tag me. I see those a lot easier than the DMs. Okay, so on this show, week 13, NFL season, final week before playoffs, you start to get these questions. A must win. I know all the wins are crucial. Hopefully, we can get you in this week with just some plays here that I'm going to bring up, some news, notes, and injuries you're going to talk about, a few players trending up, trending down. For those who are heading into fantasy football playoffs, don't ease back. If you have the bye, plan ahead. Have your week 15 matchups. Have them right now. Whether that's rostering 2 defenses, maybe 3, 2 tight ends, a second quarterback, just have it now. If you've been watching this show, you've been following my work over at FTN, you know by now that I've been telling you to have all the handcuffs, have them on your roster. Don't be having a Devontae Booker on the waiver wire and scrambling for a Booker if you're a Jacobs owner. Have these guys handcuffed at this point of the season. Have the next man up. Have the quarterbacks. Have the defenses. Have all of that stuff. If you're fighting for your playoff lives this week, hopefully you get in. Good luck. I really do hope that you get in. If you don't, you're in a keeper league. I have a few players that definitely should be rostered in keeper leagues that are probably available in certain leagues. Like, for example, I'm in a keeper league and I have Will Fuller. I had to make the decision. Do I hold this guy on my bench all year? I'm going to keep him for a third round pick next year. Do I want to keep him for a third round pick? I mean, if everybody's keeping 3 players and there's 12 people in the league, Will Fuller for a third round is not bad. It's pretty decent, actually, depending on your keeper rules. Maybe you can't keep anybody drafting the first 3 rounds and playing a couple leagues like that as well. But I had to make the decision. Do I roster Fuller, have him on my bench, which could hurt my chances to winning a fantasy football championship, or do I just cut him and have somebody else, a second defense or a second quarterback or handcuff Miles Sanders with Boston Scott? Just examples, right? So Will Fuller now, I dropped him, is available in my league. And I'll tell you what, there's a couple people snoozing. There's a 12th place team in my league with 2 wins. I looked at his roster. No keepers. Not going to keep anybody. That person should go and grab Will Fuller. All of a sudden, has a keeper. Maybe your league has trades in the offseason. Maybe you can flip Will Fuller and something else for a better keeper. There's all kinds of possibilities. Things are going to happen in the offseason. Guys are going to get drafted. Players that are, you know, third, fourth, fifth string wide receivers could potentially be second or third. Or, you know, a lot can happen. Injuries, offseason injuries, signings, trades, all of that stuff. But I'm just going to run through a few players at the very end of the show. Just rapid fire. If you're in a keeper league and a dynasty league, just make sure that these players are owned. And then I have a few defenses for you as well. Just planning ahead for the playoffs. Maybe you don't like them week 13, 14. But I tell you what, they got some great matchups week 15 and week 16. There's a few teams like that that stand out, and they're available right now on the waiver wire because they're playing tough opponents and nobody wants them. So you pick them up now, you're ahead of the game. You may not have a lot of fab, you may not be high on the waiver priority, so you just need to plan ahead right now. And then I have some picks and some props and some DFS plays for you as well. So 9 minutes in, let's get to the news, notes, and injuries. Not a lot to talk about. Josh Jacobs is out. Devontae Booker time. I have him ranked as a top 15 running back this week. Just taking a look right now, ftnfantasy.com for my full rankings. Brad Evans, Jeff Ratcliffe, Derek Brown, and Ryan Noonan as well. So you can get a bit of a feel from everyone, break the ties. But I have Devontae Booker as RB13. RB13, just ahead of Alvin Kamara. This is the world we're living in right now. Week 13, I would play Devontae Booker ahead of Alvin Kamara in a half point setting. Oh my God, I'm sick. DeAndre Swift is likely out. I don't think he's going to play. There's nothing official. He missed practice a couple times this week. Illness. He passed concussion protocol. There were some reports. Adrian Peterson said he didn't look good in practice. That's never a good thing. Daryl Bevel, who is the interim coach, Matt Patricia was fired, the Detroit Lions last week. He said he was going to be involved in a small package of plays if he does play. Swift is not a guy that I would play this week. It's just too risky. If you need a win, you just need to be looking elsewhere at other options. Clyde Edwards-Helaire did not practice on Friday. I expect him to play. I have Booker actually ranked ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire as well. Oh my goodness, what is happening? Miles Gaskin is in. More on him in a little bit. DeAndre Washington, Salvon Ahmad, both doubtful. Matt Breda on the COVID list, not going to play. Philip Lindsay, knee, is going to play. I don't think you can really start him, but it's just something to keep an eye on. I just want to bring him up because he was questionable, and if he didn't play, Melvin Gordon would probably fall into 20 touches. But now Gordon is somebody that you probably just don't even want to play. Alexander Mattison popped up today on a Saturday, out. Now, I wouldn't drop him, especially if you're a Dalvin Cook owner. I don't know. This could be a couple weeks where he's sidelined, so it's not an automatic must to play him, but Cook has... If you're a Cook owner, you've been a little scared over the past couple weeks when he limps off to the sidelines. And if anything happened to him, Alexander Mattison would be a guy that would touch the ball 15 times. And what's been a pretty good offense over the past couple weeks and a decent schedule moving forward. Julio Jones' hamstring is expected to play. According to reports, he practiced and he looked good on Friday, moving around real well. Julio Jones, I just got to play Julio Jones if you have him. I mean, I don't have any Julio. I'm too scared of him. I don't draft him. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, because he has blow-up weeks and then he has bad weeks, but you just got to play him. Terry McLaurin, ankle, questionable. I think he suits up. Allen Robinson, knee, questionable. I think he suits up as well. DJ Chark is in. Chris Conley is out. I mentioned Colin Johnson on the Fantasy Pros DFS podcast this week. Only if Chark didn't play. If you play 15, 20 lineups, you're looking for, you know, a cheap, cheap wide receiver. Colin Johnson could be a guy that maybe you put in one or two lineups. It's possible. He's like 3-3 or 3-8 on DraftKings. He had 8 targets and a touchdown last week. They're going to have to throw the ball to play catch up against the Vikings this week. Kenny Golladay is out again. I said this before. Kenny Golladay is, I just don't think he plays again the rest of the year. Just shut him down. There's no need. And if you're Kenny Golladay, why are you playing anyways? I think he's an unrestricted free agent. His time in Detroit, potentially over. There's another guy, as an example, keeper league. Just double check, right? Most likely, if he's a good keeper, he's held on to. The owner wants to keep him. There's also a possibility where the owner's like, you know what? F this. I've been holding on to Kenny Golladay for 4 or 5 weeks now. I need a W. I need to get in. I can't afford to hold on to Kenny Golladay anymore. And then just drop him. It's possible. Seen worse. Jonnu Smith, knee, not going to play. Two guys that are probably going to get an uptick in terms of snaps, maybe targets, usage potentially there. Anthony Firkser and then Jeff Swaim. Now, Swaim, better run blocker, probably going to end up with more snaps than Firkser, but Firkser's a guy that I think will end up with more targets. Now, I don't love him. I have him ranked as a top 20 tight end. He's going to be very popular in the DFS community. You either spend up all the way at the top with the Kelseys and the Wallers of the world, you take some shots on TJ Hockenson, maybe a Hunter Henry, Robert Tonyan, or then you spend all the way down at the tight end position. Last week, it was Mason Rudolph. Yeah, right. It was Kyle Rudolph that we played at tight end. We loved him. He had a season-high 8 targets, 7 grabs, 68 yards. No, it was no Irv Smith. No Irv Smith again this week. Rudolph is going to still probably be a little chalky, a little bit more expensive, but still a nice punt play at the tight end position. He's cheap. Like I said, you spend up or you spend down. There's no in-between, right? There's really good, and then there's all bad. You might as well spend down on the all bad than spend, you know, near the top for an average tight end. But back to Firkser. He had the 8 catches, 9 targets, 113 yards, and a touchdown earlier in the season. It is possible in a 50-point game that he ends up with a couple catches, maybe a couple red zone looks. Little risky if you need a win this week. You're playing in 2 tight end leagues. They're out there. Trust me. They're out there. I'm playing one. It's not fun. But he could be that second tight end for you. He could be a cheap DFS punt play for you, potentially. But no, he's going to be chalky. He's not going to come underrated. Looked at Kyle Murray's projections before he came on. Not going to give a ton away. Firkser's up at the top. He's very popular. People are all over it. And then Zach Ertz is back this week. So, for example, I'd play Kyle Rudolph over Zach Ertz. I don't think I'd play Firkser over Zach Ertz. And I still like Dallas Goedert a lot more than Zach Ertz. But he is expected to return this week. Daniel Jones, hamstring, looking doubtful. Looked like he is not going to play. Colt McCoy's show for the Giants. Do not play Colt McCoy. Ryan Fitzpatrick, looking like he was going to play, and now, before I got on, looking like he's not going to play. It's a bummer for Devontae Parker. It really is. I mean, I use the split tool, which is absolutely free for you to check out over at FTNDaily.com, FTNFantasy.com. When you use that tool, when you just, obviously the sample size between Parker and Tua together is very small. We have a bit of a larger, small, we have a larger sample size of Fitz and Parker together. We know that Fitz loves Parker. He gave him 14 targets last week. He has no problem feeding guys that he really trusts and that he likes. But with Tua, they've tempered expectations. Maybe that's not the right saying. They've relied on their defense in a game this week where they're double-digit point favorites. They're going to rely on their defense again. They're going to run the rock with Myles Gaskin. Tua's not going to be a guy that throws the ball a ton. He's probably not going to be a guy that throws the ball 14 times to Devontae Parker. So this is a bit of a downgrade for Parker, where he was a borderline wide receiver one. He's still a wide receiver two, but a low-end wide receiver two. But as I mentioned, using the split tools, Parker's just been really good without Preston Williams. And you can go back to last year, the last half of last season, these past few weeks, 8 more fantasy points per game in a PPR setting, 40 more yards per game, and 4 more targets per game, and just under 2 grabs per game. So he's been a big-time player when Preston Williams is not in a lineup. DeForest Buckner, going to return. IDP leagues, whatever. This is more of just, hey, the Colts defense was awful last week. They were embarrassed. They're going to get Buckner back. They probably bounce back. Buckner is good for the run defense, and he's good at generating pressure on the quarterback. Going up against Deshaun Watson, lost Randall Cobb 2 weeks ago, lost Will Fuller this past week, running out of options there. They're going to get David Johnson back, but I mean, who cares, right? Watson's been really, really good over the past few weeks, but he's in a tough spot, I think, this week. And I don't know if I would start him next week against the Bears. I'd be looking at other options. It's just, he can only do so much. Denzel Ward, another defensive player, not going to play. That's bad news for the Browns secondary. Great news for all the Titans. Corey Davis, I mean, you're playing AJ Brown, but Corey Davis is a guy that I really, really like. Especially this week. So a few players trending up and trending down. Let's start with Myles Gaskin. I mentioned him. I did mention that DeAndre Washington and Matt Breida probably not going to play this week. Breida for sure not going to play. Ahmad looking doubtful as well. So I think you can dial up Gaskin. He's a top 20 running back. If you stash him on IR, activate him. The Dolphins activated him today. Looks like he is going to be able to play this week. And I think he goes back to touching the ball about 20 times. I you know, just again, if you're in an 18 team or 18 league or a 10 team league, just make sure he is not available. Just scan the waiver wire and just, if he's there, go pick him up and grab him. He's a for sure top 20 back this week. Love the matchup against the Bengals. They've allowed the third most rushing yards per game. They've allowed the third most yards per attempt on the ground, 4.8. So this is a great spot for him. And he hasn't played since week 8. So there's always, you know, some people are a little hesitant to play these backs that they haven't seen in a long time. But I think he goes back to being a bell cow guy. He had 3 straight weeks with at least 21 touches before the injury, 5 games in a row with at least 10 running back carries. And he had 4 targets in every single game that he played. And from a per game basis, among running backs, 5th in targets with 5 and 4th in catches with 4.28. So this was a guy who was involved on the ground through the air. He was top 10 in red zone rushing attempts before he got hurt. That was with Jordan Howard stealing a few goal line carries at the start of the season. Also, that was with Preston Williams getting a few targets here and there. Not a lot of options, not a lot of passing options for the Miami Dolphins. So I think Gaskin could come away with 25 opportunities. That's targets plus carries. So like him, he's certainly trending up. David Johnson, you know, if you had Duke, you're wondering about who to start, you start David Johnson. I think Duke will probably see a few targets. I think there could be some 2 running back sets that they run without Will Fuller and Randall Cobb. Kiki QT is another guy who's trending up in this offense. I think you have to be pretty desperate to play him. But I think if you're in a 16-team league as a flex, I think Kiki QT is at least interesting as a guy who could potentially come away with 4 or 5 grabs this week with no Fuller and no Cobb. How about Latavius Murray? This isn't patting myself on the back. This is just kind of hammering home a point that I made a couple weeks ago with the quarterback change. I said that I was a little nervous with Alvin Kamara. I didn't think that he would only have 1 catch in 2 games with Taysom Hill for -2 yards. I didn't think that that was going to happen. But I also just didn't, I just thought that this offense would run differently. And it is. So in 2 games with Taysom Hill under center, Latavius Murray has 31 carries, 173 rushing yards, 3 targets, 3 catches, 38 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns, 59 snaps, and 7 red zone touches. Alvin Kamara has 24 carries, so 7 fewer, 99 rushing yards, so 74 fewer. Has 3 targets as well, only has the 1 catch, so 2 fewer catches. -2 receiving yards, as I mentioned. The 1 touchdown, 62 snaps, only 3 more snaps than Murray. and only 4 red zone touches, so 3 fewer red zone touches. A couple takeaways. I don't think Alvin Kamara is completely healthy. I think that he's dealing with a foot injury. I think he's fine. I think if you have him, you play him. I have him as a top 14 running back. I like him a little bit more in PPR leagues, even though he only has the one catch. You're playing Alvin Kamara. You're not going to play Latavius Murray over him, but you can play both. I've been talking about stashing guys, handcuffing your running backs, having home run threats, not on the waiver wire, on your bench. Latavius Murray was one of those guys. One of those guys because we've seen him before in this offense as the guy and a borderline RB1. We've seen him be the guy on other teams as a bell cow back, be an RB1. He has filled in for backs that have been hurt. Dalvin Cook brought him up earlier. He filled in for Cook a couple years ago and absolutely balled out. He's playing really good right now. I think because the defense has been so good that they went up against Kendall Hinton last week, who had 1 completion and 2 interceptions and 13 passing yards, because they went up Matt Ryan the week before and absolutely dominated him, sacked him 8 times. There's no Julio. They had their way. I think when they get into an up-in-tempo, up-pace game, lots of points, what I'm trying to say, KC, I believe, on the schedule week 15, we could see Kamara start to get a few more targets. But the gap is closed. I would not start Latavius over Alvin Kamara, but both of these guys are startable. I don't know if you have them both. I don't think the ceiling is as high as Kamara and Ingram a couple years ago, but you could have played both of those guys as well. Now, if you have them both on a team, I think you can play them. I think they're both top 24 backs. I think you can play them both. But Kamara is trending down and Murray is trending up and absolutely sucks. I feel your pain, Kamara owners. I feel your pain. Dave Montgomery, trending up. Jonathan Taylor, trending up. J.K. Dobbins, trending up. J.K. Dobbins didn't play last week because of COVID. Reportedly could have played, but Baltimore just wanted to take it easy on him. He did test positive for COVID-19. So Dobbins against Dallas, top 15 running back. Talk about Taylor in a second. Dave Montgomery against Detroit. Dare I say top 10 running back? I think he is. I think he's a top 10 running back. Played 86% of the snaps in week 12, 11 for 103 against Green Bay. It was a good matchup against the Packers. That wasn't all of it. No, it was part of it. Part of why people like Miles Sanders this week in DFS, don't play him in cash. You can't trust Doug Peterson. More on him in a second. Miles Sanders, that is. But this is a guy that, you know, he's priced in the mid-5 range in DK and FanDuel. He's been disappointing so far this year. He missed the game with a concussion. Then there was the bye week. He looked fresh last week. 21 catches in his last 6 games, 31 targets over that span. He's running a ton of routes since Tariq Cohen has been out with the knee injury. So 11 for 103 against Green Bay. He had 5 catches on 6 targets for 40 yards. This is just a really solid matchup. There's not a lot of running backs that you can just plug in and know that all the touches and all the targets are going to go to them. It's not a lot of backs like that. It's not a lot of backs that are going to get 85% of the snaps. This is not a lot. So that's part of why I like him. The rest is the matchup. Detroit, as I mentioned, they fired Matt Patricia. Usually when defenses fire or teams fire a coach, in particular, the defense shows up. Matt Patricia, that's what he's known for. So maybe there's a spark all of a sudden with some certain players. But they just don't have the personnel. They're just not a good team. So they've allowed the 5th most rushing yards per game. They're 10th in rush DVOA defense, according to Football Outsiders. And they've allowed the most fantasy points to running back. So the matchup is there. Could he be a bust in DFS? Absolutely. But he's a guy who's probably going to touch the ball 15 to 20 times this week. And that's valuable. So that's why I have him as a top 10 back. That's why I think he's trending up. Him and Jonathan Taylor have been guys that have been talking about a lot at FTN as trade targets. Don't let me down now. This is why I wanted people to acquire them for this stretch run. These weeks, last week against Green Bay, plus this week against Detroit, plus I don't know who Chicago has next week off the top of my head. I'm telling you, it's a plus matchup because I wrote up him and Allen Robinson nonstop for these weeks. Same with Taylor, which we'll talk about soon. Kenyon Drake trending up. Kyle Murray trending down. Drake had a league-high 9 red zone rushing attempts in week 12. He led all backs with 5 carries inside the 5-yard line. He had 2 rushing touchdowns. He was stuffed several times at the end of the first half against the Patriots. It did not faze Cliff Kingsbury. He had no hesitation to go back to Kenyon Drake. Drake has 207 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns, and 52.2 fantasy points since returning from an injury. He only missed the 1 week. There was a bye week mixed in there as well. He's RB6 since that span. He also has 7 catches on 9 targets in his last 2 games after only having 8 targets on 11, or only having 8 grabs on 11 targets over his first 8 games. Imagine that. 8 catches through his first 8 games and then 7 catches over his last 2 games. Why? What the heck has changed? What is going on? I think it's Kyler Murray's shoulder. Kyler Murray, 5 rushing attempts last week, 5 rushing attempts the week before, 10 rushing attempts over his last 2 weeks. That's the fewest he's had over a 2-week span this season. When you watch him, he doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't want to get hit. He's taken the sacks. Last year, he was sacked more than anybody. That was the thing with Kyler this year. He's elusive, of course. He still is. But he was trusting his legs, moving away from the pocket, avoiding hits. Now, what I've seen from him over the past couple weeks is when pressure is coming at him, he's just dropping down. And that's it. He has one red zone rushing attempt. One over the last 2 weeks. He had 19 red zone rushing attempts and 6 from inside the 5 over his first 9 games. To have one over the past 2 weeks is very telling. I mean, you don't have Kenyon Drake rack up 9 red zone rushing attempts and 5 from inside the 5 and not have Kyler Murray have one of them without Murray being hurt. It's very clear if you watched him play. I'm not saying to sit Kyler, but if you were ever hesitant for whatever reason to start Kenyon Drake, don't be. Play him. He's trending up. It's been a frustrating season because you haven't had those rushing attempts converted for touchdowns because Kyler's been stealing them, and you haven't had the usage through the air because Chase Edmonds was stealing it. So it's starting to happen. This is the Kenyon Drake that we all liked and we all drafted. I like Chase Edmonds more. I think he's the better back. But Kenyon Drake is trending up right now. I have Kyler as a borderline top 10 quarterback this week. I think I have him at 10, right on the button. Tough matchup this week against the Rams. Don't love him. And I usually don't like running backs against the Rams either, but I like Kenyon Drake. But very interesting. Only 5 carries in each of his past 2 games. That's concerning. Frank Gore, old man Frank Gore, trending up. 18 carries, 21 opportunities last week. That was in a blowout loss. The Jets went for it on 4th-and-1 midfield, and they didn't pass the ball. They decided to give it to Frank Gore, and he just got stuffed. It is what it is. At this point, Adam Gase will never learn. He wanted to give touches to LaMichael Perine, a young rookie back, but he got hurt. Frank Gore is just getting touches. 32 carries, 135 rushing yards, 1 touchdown, 5 grabs, 26.7 fantasy points over his last 2 games, 7 catches over his last 3 games. I had to play him in one of my leagues. I got him ranked as a top 30 running back this week. It's just a guy who's just going to touch the ball 20 times. It's ugly, but you know it is what it is. You need touches. If you couldn't get Booker, you had Jacobs. You can't take zeros. He's probably going to get 10, 12 points. The upside is not there. But he's a guy that usually just gets you 10, anywhere from 7 to 10 points every week. He finds the end zone. You'll be loving it. It's a decent matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders. So I'd like the fact that he's catching balls under the backfield over the past couple weeks. Cam Akers, a guy that I think is trending up slightly. I don't think he's a guy that you can trust, but he does have touchdowns in back-to-back games. This is somebody that, you know, in a keeper league, I would make sure is owned. Darrell Henderson had 1 target, 0 grabs last week. He had 19 yards on 10 carries. Meanwhile, Akers had 84 yards and a touchdown on 9 carries. Malcolm Brown led the team in snaps. He didn't do anything with them. He just is there to pass block. He's the best pass blocker they have. And he's only going to be a guy that maybe gets 3 or 4 carries. I think he had 1 target, 0 grabs. Not a lot there to love, but I think Akers is trending up. I think if there's any week where it's his coming out party, this is it. But I've said that before. Ito Smith versus Brian Hill. Hill down, Smith up. Don't like either of these guys. Not sure if Todd Gurley's going to play. If Gurley plays, you play him. But if he doesn't, I would rank Ito Smith ahead of Brian Hill. I just thought it was interesting. So Smith had 12 carries and 65 yards last week. He had the rushing touchdown. He played 7 fewer snaps than Brian Hill, who had 55 yards on 13 carries. So it was basically a split backfield. Neither did a whole lot. But Smith had 4 red zone carries. Hill only had 1. And he caught 4 balls on 5 targets, and Hill only had 1 target. He failed to catch it. That was my bad. I mean, I thought Hill was going to get two or three targets last week. I liked him as a guy that was going to catch two or three balls, who was going to maybe get 12 to 15 carries. I didn't think Ito Smith was going to be as involved. So clearly he is. There's a new regime there. Ito Smith is a guy that, yeah, he only played 37 snaps last week and Hill played 47, but it started off Hill and it finished with Smith. So if there's no Gurley, I think it starts with Hill and maybe it finishes with Hill or Smith rather. But again, tough matchup. But the big takeaway for me was that Smith had those targets, not Hill. So that's why I'm going to rank Smith ahead of him, because I think they're going to be playing from behind just a little bit. It could be a tighter game this week against the Saints, but if they are playing from behind late in the game, like they were a couple weeks ago, look for Smith to get the work. But neither of these guys are top 30 running backs this week. It's just if you're desperate. Okay, trending down. Not going to spend a whole lot of time here. You have Miles Sanders. A lot of questions this week at FTN. What do I do with Miles Sanders? I think you play him. I think you have to play him. This is a great match against the Packers. He had a great game last year against the Packers. I have no idea why he only had six carries against Seattle. One of his better runs came inside the red zone, and then Doug Peterson put Corey Clement in there. In garbage time, it was Boston Scott, not Miles Sanders. Sanders has had a couple awful drops. That is on him. But I just don't know if you can really trust him to play him in cash, even what is a good matchup. You want to get contrarian in GPP, sure, go ahead. But it's just Doug Peterson. The play calling is not there. The offensive line, 10 different O-line combinations, the most in football. Carson Wentz can't seem to figure it out. He's hesitant. When he has time, he double clutches. He's missing wide open guys. Wide outs are not getting separation. So it's ugly. It's tough. I've had a lot of questions. That's why I wanted to bring up Miles Sanders. What do I do at this point? You play him. You have to play him. The upside is there. He's a really good running back. He's still among the leaders in yards per attempt, which is why it's puzzling to see him get six carries in a game. Like, there was no reason for him to get six carries in a game last week, especially when Seattle had a penalty to start the game and Philly starts first and five, and they decide to throw three times in a row. And of course, there was no completions for Carson Wentz. But top 10 running back still got him at 10. Good matchup, just trending down. And then Cincy wide receivers trending down as well. Last week with Brandon Allen under center, Tyler Boyd had six targets, three gaps for 15 yards. T. Higgins had five targets, five catches for 44 yards and a touchdown. A.J. Green had three targets and zero grabs. So A.J. Green is dust. Boyd, I said last week I'd liked him slightly more. I still do, but that is, it's in the numbers. They don't lie. T. Higgins had the best game out of the three, and he's the guy who led the team in catches and yards. They're going to be thrown again this week. They have no choice. But I like Boyd's matchup in the slot slightly more. Okay, before we get to some picks and some props, defenses I like just to grab now in case, just for the stretch run, if you have a bye, whatever. So San Fran has Buffalo this week. I'm not crazy about them this week, but they're getting healthier. They're getting some guys back. Washington next week, then Dallas, then Arizona. So week 14, Washington. Week 15, Dallas. Pretty good spots. Cleveland against Tennessee, not so much this week. Baltimore next week, I don't really like it. But if you're playing, if you looks like you have a bye, potentially week 15 against the Giants, week 16 against the Jets, like that. Tampa Bay on bye this week. Got mini next week. Atlanta, Detroit. Could have been dropped, right? They're giving up a lot of yards. They still have a solid defense that can generate some pressure off the quarterback. Love the matchup week 15 against the Falcons. Love the matchup week 16 against the Lions. Arizona against the Rams this week, maybe not, but they get the Giants week 14, they get Philly week 15, and then San Fran week 16. Rams are probably owned, the Ravens are probably owned, but they have great schedules. The Rams go Arizona, New England, the Jets, and Seattle. Baltimore goes Dallas, Cleveland, Jacksonville, and the Giants. Seattle is the one team that they are probably owned because they played Philly last week and Carson Wentz and all the turnovers, and then they play the Giants this week with Colt McCoy. But after that, they have the Jets. They have Washington. The Jets week 14, Washington week 15. Seattle's defense, we've been picking on them all year. Jamal Adams is back. They were playing some man last week. They got Griffin back. And they can generate some pressure. I think the pass rush, ever since they got Carlos Dunlap, you know, they acquired him, generating some pressure. They played some man last week, and they just dialed up the pressure. I think they're going to do the same thing this week, generating some turnovers. Yes, we've been picking on that secondary. I think it's not a lot better than those first few weeks, but certainly better. I think the rest of the way with those matchups, Giants, Jets, Washington, top 10 defense for me the rest of the way, throughout the playoffs. 100%. Tennessee against Cleveland this week. You may not like it. Jacksonville week 14. Detroit week 15. Again, grab those next man up backs. Moss, Bell, Booker, probably late, probably too late. Boston Scott, Carlos Hyde, Chase Edmonds, Jamal Williams, Madison, Latavius, Fournette. All these guys, they need to be rostered. Fournette, yes, including Fournette. Have you seen Detroit's, they play Detroit. Have you seen Tampa's schedule? I mean, I think I just told you. But mini Atlanta, Detroit, you can run all over those three teams. If anything happened to Ronald Jones, I know Fournette has been brutal, but the matchups are so good that Tampa's going to win those games easily, and they could just lean on the running backs. Keeper league stuff, I wanted to save this for the end. I'll do it now. Keeper league stuff, make sure, just, I know you could be listening to me, watching me saying, what the hell, bud? Joe Burrow is owned everywhere, but just double check, okay? Somebody asked me last week if they should pick up Michael Thomas. So if somebody can ask if they should pick up Michael Thomas, I can sit here and tell you to make sure that Dak Prescott, Joe Burrow, Odell Beckham Jr., Kenny Golladay, Will Fuller, Cortland Sutton, George Kittle, make sure these guys are rostered in keeper leagues. Heck, you want to dig a little bit deeper? Marlon Mack, probably going to end up in a new team next year. You don't have any keepers? Something to consider. Tariq Cohen, same sort of deal. Someone to consider. Akers, P. Ryan, A.J. Dillon, Tony Pollard. Make sure these guys are owning keeper leagues. Who knows what's going to happen with Dallas next year? I've seen crazier things happen. I don't know if Zeke's there. Just saying. Don't know. Jerry Jeudy, Mims, Rager, Chenault, Ty Johnson, Chris Godwin's an unrestricted free agent. Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins could be gone. Preston Williams, I liked him. Didn't get what I wanted from him, but deeper leagues, still like him. Devin Duvernay could be in a bigger role next year. It's possible. Tight ends, Cole Kmet played 54 snaps last week. Jimmy Graham played 24. Jimmy Graham's not going to hang around forever. Could be Cole Kmet's. Actually, I have a ton of tight ends, but it could be his job next year, starting tight end. Irv Smith, right? He could be available in keeper leagues. Adam Trotman as well could be available in keeper leagues. Drew Lock, right? I mean, the weapons are all there. The injuries, get Cortland Sutton there another year with this offense. It's not one and single, you know, it's a super flex thing. If you have to have two or three, you're in a dynasty league, he's hanging around. It's been a very disappointing season for him. He's been brutal. But the weapons are there. He could be a third quarterback for you in a dynasty or keeper league super flex. Same with Jameis Winston, right? I mean, he could be on a new team next year. He's not far removed from leading the league in passing yards. And who knows? I mean, Breeze could retire and Hill could just suck over these next few weeks. And maybe Jameis Winston's the guy. Jalen Hurts, same sort of deal. I don't know. I think Carson Wentz is with the Eagles next year because of the cap hit. But I don't know. Maybe we see Hurts over these next couple weeks. So just roster all of those players. Just make sure that they're owned if your season's over and you're looking ahead to next year. Okay, picks and props before we get out of here. Let's start with the picks. It was a rough week for me last week. Not going to lie. 55-47 overall, up plus 9.12 units. I have the Colts, 3-point favorites. I already really mentioned why I'd like them. Buckner's back. I like the defense. They got absolutely slapped last week. I think that they just bounced back overall. Deshaun Watson's been really good so far this season, especially lately. When I say so far this season, I mean, come on, Chris, we're in week 13. But over the past few weeks, he's been good. But no Will Fuller, no Randall Cobb. I think they're going to be able to generate some pressure on him. Just got to win by a field goal. Give it to me. Seattle by 10. Now, that's using our parlay calculator. I saw in most spots, it's 10.5, 11. Use the free parlay calculator over at ftmbets.com. You're going to get the best possible odds. You can get Seattle by 10 over there. I think they win by 14, so you want to pick them by 10.5, 11. It's not going to matter. I just don't know how the Giants move the football. I think that Colt McCoy is going to struggle. Wayne Gallman's been pretty good lately. You can't run on Seattle. I mentioned the defense taking a step in the right direction over the past couple weeks. I think Seattle wins by two scores. I got Washington plus 8.5. If I wanted to give you pure winners, I would honestly have probably Minnesota there. or KC there by double-digit scores. I wanted to come in here with one plus, one potential upset. I don't think the Steelers lose, but plus 8.5 is something that you can get over at ftnbets.com as well using the free parlay calculator. I think in most spots it's plus 7.5. Earlier in the week you could have gotten plus 10. That's another reason to follow FTN Alerts on Twitter. You get the bet as soon as we make them. And when we make them early on a Tuesday, it's because we feel like the line is going to change. And the line certainly did change, especially after Pittsburgh looking so brutal against Baltimore. Here's my thinking with Pittsburgh and Washington. As you see there, I have the under 43.5. Both of these defenses, pretty good. Washington, solid against the run, decent against the pass, one of the better teams in the league against the pass so far this season. And with Pittsburgh, all week didn't practice. They played on a Wednesday, and now they have to play on a Sunday with, or Monday rather, with Washington hanging around waiting. You know, they played on Thanksgiving Thursday. They've had extra time off here. They're fighting for their playoffs. Defense has played good, as I mentioned. I think this is a tight game. I don't think Washington wins. I think if there's an upset, this could potentially be it. Pittsburgh has just kind of got by recently, not looking great. They played basically a practice squad team in the Ravens last week and almost lost that game. They looked ugly on offense. I don't know how efficient they'll look on offense this week. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be a touchdown game. I will be picking Pittsburgh in my own pool to win the game, but I'll be picking Washington in my spread pool, and I'll be picking the under. I think it's going to be a grind. Miami-Cincinnati, I think that's going to be a bit of a grind as well. I just don't know if Cincinnati's going to be able to do their part. Miami plays to a bit of a slow pace. They run the football. Looks like Tua's going to be under center. He doesn't really turn the ball over too much. They're just going to keep things simple and run the rock there. So I think much like last week, maybe a 20-10 win or a 24-10 win. That gets us under the number. New Orleans and Atlanta, I had the under a couple weeks ago when these two teams played. Now, there was no tape really on Taysom Hill, so I expect Atlanta to be able to bounce back slightly, but I still like the Saints. As you see, I got them on the money line. The defense has just been really good so far this season and really good over the past couple of weeks. So I think Atlanta learns a thing or two from having faced Taysom Hill over the past couple weeks. I think they stacked the box, forced him to throw the football, but I think he showed enough a couple weeks ago that he can throw the football if he needs to. You know, he underthrew Emmanuel Sanders on a couple play action passes, but he really targeted his best wide receiver in Michael Thomas, and I think he'll do the same there too. A lot of sharp people over at FTN are on Atlanta. I've seen a lot of people backing Atlanta, a lot of people that I respect backing Atlanta this week for the upset. The Saints are only 3-point favorites. I'm just going with the better team here. The big picture is in mind, and that's the first round bye. So give me the Saints to win on the money line, and I'll take the under 46. I got Buffalo. I was teasing a Bills fan nonstop this week that I thought San Fran was a lock. Now, this is basically a pick 'em now. It's going to be a tough game for the Bills to win. It's going to be a tough game for San Fran to win, too. They're not playing at home. They're playing in Arizona, inside the Dome, a place where Buffalo has already played so far this season. I was impressed with San Fran. They're getting some bodies back. Mostert back, Debo Samuel back. Brandon Ayuk's going to be back this week. They're very much in the hunt. This is going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a very fun game to watch on Monday night. It's going to be very, very, very entertaining. I side with the Bills being the better team, the better offensive team. Josh Allen's been solid this year. I don't know who's going to be able to stop Stephon Diggs. And they should be able to have some success running the ball, throwing the ball. They're a better offensive team than the Rams. And, you know, San Fran, it's weird inside that NFC East, right? I mean, the Niners can't beat Seattle, but they can beat the Rams. And the Rams can't beat the Niners, but they can beat Seattle. And then Arizona's just kind of mixed in there, splitting games with mostly everyone. But it's weird. The Niners just have the Rams number. So give me Buffalo as a team that's this good. I just feel like it's good odds, right? You can't usually get a team this good, you know, minus 125 or minus 130. And the Saints are minus 150. I was going to put them -3 on the against the spread. But -50 for the Saints? Sign me up. The parlay is KC, Miami, Indy, and New Orleans. The teaser is a 6-game, 7-point teaser. I teased down the Chiefs from -14 to -7. The Saints from -3 to +4. The Packers -2.5. Just got to beat the Eagles by a field goal. Seattle just has to beat the Giants by a field goal. Vegas just has to beat the Jets by 2 points. And then the Bills plus 8. So that's plus 450. Teasers always are great. Show me a teaser that doesn't look great. I don't think I've given you guys a teaser winner yet. There's usually one that burns me. So I've decided to get away from the 7-8 game teasers and give you a 6 game. If you want a 3 game borderline lock, I don't like to say the word lock. If you want a borderline lock, you could tease down KC to win by a touchdown. You can tease down Seattle and you can tease down Green Bay. If I had to choose 3 of the ones I like there, would be KC, Green Bay, and Seattle. Boom. Just leave it at those 3. There's no way the Packers and the Seahawks are losing to the Giants and the Eagles. And there's no way that KC is not going to win by at least a touchdown against the Broncos. Have you seen what the Chiefs have done lately? I mean, they should have their way with Denver. Yes, they're going to have Drew Lock under center. But Drew Lock has like 12 interceptions in his last 5 or 6 games. He hasn't done a whole lot. Casey's absolutely rolling right now. Let's bring up the props before we get out of here. I've got a few props for you. We'll start with Jonathan Taylor, over 48.5 rushing yards. The last time we saw Taylor was week 11. He didn't play last week due to COVID, but he didn't test positive for COVID, if that means anything to you. His girlfriend tested positive. He was just a close contact, so he's feeling fine. The last time we saw him, he accounted for 68% of his team's rushing yards en route to 98 yards on 22 carries. He had a ton called back as well. He could easily had 125, 140 rushing yards in that game. He also had a team-high 4 grabs. So he came away with 26 touches in that game. You can't ask for a better matchup this week against the Texans. They've allowed a league-high 4.9 yards per rushing attempt. They've allowed the second most rushing yards per game, 154, and the second most fantasy points per game if you're looking for Taylor and DFS. The Texans have coughed up 10 runs of at least 20 yards. It's the third most in football. And 3 runs of at least 40 yards. That's the second most in football. I know it's a little uneasy with given Frank Reich and all the running backs. But I just think the Colts are going to win this game. I think they're going to lean on Taylor. I think he definitely gets to 50 rushing yards. Allen Robinson, 5.5 receptions. He has at least 6 grabs in 4 straight games and 7 of his past 9 games. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. It was last year with Mitch Trubisky. Allen Robinson was a top 10 wide receiver. This year with Foles or Robinson, he just gets all those targets, gets all those looks. 5.5 receptions, it's actually plus money. I like that one a lot. Aaron Rodgers, over 2.5 passing touchdowns. What a difference 2019 has been for a lot of people. 2020 has not been kind to a lot of people this year, but it has been kind to Aaron Rodgers, that's for sure. Rodgers, 8 games with at least 3 passing touchdowns. He has at least 3 touchdowns in 6 straight games, 5 games with at least 4 passing touchdowns. Last year, he had 9 games with 1 or 0 passing touchdowns and only 3 games with over 2 passing touchdowns. What a complete difference. Clearly, he has a chip on his shoulder. It's Rodgers against the world. He's leaning on Devontae Adams, who is averaging 100 yards per game and 9 catches per game. He's a lock to surpass his 84.5 receiving prop this week as well. It's just too good. 2.5 at plus 200. Give it to me. Robert Woods, over 62.5 receiving yards. Robert Woods, that's plus 130. He has 27 targets and 19 catches in his last 2 games. He had 20 catches. He has 20 catches. That's right, 20 in his last 2 games against Arizona. And then you see there Tyreek Hill, over 73.5 receiving yards. Hill now ranks 2nd in the NFL in receiving yards. He has nearly 600 receiving yards in his last 4 games. Kelce is 3rd in the league in receiving yards. Patrick Mahomes is 1st in the league in passing yards. And they're not running the football. This is why I like that 7-point spread, is that Mahomes has thrown 40-plus passes in 4 straight games. He's chucking. They're not trying to run. The last time they played Denver, they blew them out. It was a sloppy weather game. It's not going to be crazy weather at Arrowhead this year or this week, but Mahomes is just chucking, and he is playing really good. That'll do it. If you're looking for a few more props, a few more picks, you can use the promo code MEANIE. You will get FTN bets the rest of the season, including throughout the playoffs, and the Super Bowl as well. I got a lot on there. I'll give you one more on my way out. What's it going to be? I'm looking here. I got a ton. Let's go with TJ Hawkinson, plus 115, over 4.5 grabs. Chicago has allowed the fourth most catches to tight ends and the sixth most yards to the position. No Kenny Golladay there as well. You're looking for some DFS plays? It's all for you over at FTNDaily.com. Use that promo code MEANIE. Any questions, hit me up in the comments section on the YouTube page. Good luck in week 13. I really hope that you get to the fantasy football playoffs. And if you want to turn the page over to DFS, check out FTNDaily.com. Use that promo code MEANIE. And get in on that Jerry Jeudy signed mini helmet. Screenshot over to MeanStreetsFTN@gmail.com. Have a good one, everybody. Cheers.